How about this?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Stafford, tight pocket. Hit as he throws left side. Yes! Intercepted.
He's still yet to win an NFL game against a team at five games above 500 or better.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Case Keenum's not the answer, Browns fans.
Today's guests: Yahoo Sports columnist Dan Wetzel, Pro Football Hall of Famer Charles Woodson, 49ers running back Elijah Mitchell, plus Ravens offensive tackle Ronnie Stanley. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the air in Los Angeles, California. I am your humble host, Rich Eisen, thus again the name of the show. I'm just connecting dots for everybody here today on NBC Sports on Peacock and NBC Sports Sirius XM Channel 85, NBC Sports Audio. We say good morning to our terrestrial radio audience, wherever you may be taking in the show, or streaming us on Odyssey, wherever you may be taking in this show. We say hello to our podcast listeners, whenever you might be taking in this show as well. Doesn't matter if you're here in real time, I'm still saying just hello to you, because you know what? Life is amazing, and it just gets better every day. And that's already been established as of yesterday, in case you've missed it. I was just dropping bombs everywhere, and I still kind of feel that way, in that same mood. And that's the way I say hello to you, Chris Brockman. How are you, Christopher?
I'm great, man.
Hey, Jason Feller, good to see you. How are you?
Hanukkah.
Good to see you over there, man. Happy Hanukkah
happy
to
Hanukkah.
You, too. Happy
day
Hanukkah.
Day two, day three, what are we at?
I think three.
You know, we first lit a candle Sunday night. So this is night three.
This is night three. Night three.
It's kind of day two, night three.
Okay.
We Jews, we don't make it easy.
I'm down. I mean, I'm aware of what day
okay,
it was.
Okay, very good. Yeah. But anyway, good to see you, Jason Feller. Good to see you, sir.
Too.
Sitting there for Mike Del Tufo, who's doing something somewhere. And it's unfortunate that he's not here today.
What a day.
That is nothing to you and Jason. We'll get to that in a second. Hey, TJ Jefferson, how are you?
Hey, Rich, Jason, Chris.
So much craziness went down yesterday. We didn't even talk about Max Scherzer getting pizzed.
Oh, I know.
And it'll be just totally typical Mets stuff. That they pay all that money for Max Scherzer, that their owner finally pays all that stuff, and they don't have a season. Because Bob Nightingale, who covers baseball for USA Today, tweeted out about a half an hour ago that with the clock approaching midnight, if you will, Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, if there's no collective bargaining agreement hammered out, new CBA hammered out, there's going to be a lockout.
Oof.
And the union and the management team for baseball met today. Was it 10 minutes? Is that how long apparently they met?
Yeah, it wasn't very long.
Oh, or let me just make
sure.
It
was about the same as Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly talking to his Notre Dame team today. And so that's up for bids as well, that Notre Dame is now the head coach of LSU football.
What?
Okay. The story broke in the first half of last night's Monday Night Football Week 12 finale, in which the Seattle Seahawks and the Washington football team played a football game, and lots of crazy stuff happened. And we'll get to all of that stuff later on in this program. But the headline is that the Seattle Seahawks, through 12 weeks of an NFL season, have won only three games. Longest regular season ever for the Seattle Seahawks has just gotten figuratively longer. And I said this a couple weeks ago. I don't know the way out of this. The way out of this is Russ finding DK and Russ finding Lockett, and only nine targets between them last night. Lockett had a night. He was almost on a 100-yard receiver, but one catch for 13 yards for number 14 in your program, number one on the guy that is circled by every defensive coordinator out there, DK Metcalf, is just unacceptable. Unacceptable. And the way out of this was supposed to be Russ coming back early from surgery. Problem is, they haven't won since Russ has come back from surgery. That's three straight losses since Russ has come back from surgery. And the offense is regressing. Regressing. They had the fewest snaps they've had all season in a game last night, which set the record for them in 2021 that they had set in the previous week. They're getting fewer and fewer snaps on offense. They can't run the football. They can't run it, so that you can't play action it if you can't run it. And if your play action game is the most lethal part of your passing game, then everyone's going to circle number 14 and say, we're not letting him beat us. Again, I'm not an all 22 maven, but it doesn't really take much to notice all that. And then if Russ is missing throws, which he did on occasion last night, that's just going to crush you. Had five straight three and outs in the second half last night.
Yep.
And the Washington football team couldn't put much together themselves. And they lost their place kicker. And they thus had to go for two, and they went for two and broke up a streak of 12 consecutive failed two-point conversion attempts. So they would never have gone for two if they hadn't lost their kicker. And they went for two. They finally broke up that streak, and then the Seahawks needed a two at the end of the game because of it to force overtime. And I couldn't believe this. It was their first two-point conversion attempt of the season.
Yeah.
Just showed you just how offensively empty this season has been for Seattle. And this is the problem moving forward, short-term and long-term. Because in the short term, they're 3-8. And sure, that's only two games behind the playoff spot, but the rest of the NFC between spot 7, which the Washington football team now holds, and spot 15, which is what the Seahawks now hold at 3-8, they're not even on our screen sniffing it because there's so many teams sniffing it, seven of them, because those seven teams are within one game of the Washington football team. We can't fit the Seahawks on the screen. The only team below them are the winless Lions. So short term, even if somehow, some way they find a running game to unlock the passing game and they go on a run, they're going to have to leapfrog half of the conference to get to the spot that they need to get to. And their best shot at that would be to somehow have enough tie breaks go their way that a 9-8 record would be good enough to make the playoffs. Because that's what it's going to have to be. How is that going to happen? And then there's the long term. Russ was talking about during the non-playing season, lack of protection. Bunch of Washington football team players not named Chase Young because he's out wearing his lap last night. And then a couple times, I guess, I don't know, it was just rattling him. One time he took a sack. With 2 minutes to go, I don't know what he's doing. Just throw the ball away on first down, make it second and 10 instead of it was second and forever. But guess what? He still scored that touchdown, didn't he? So it's in there, I guess. Maybe you play fast. I have no idea. Again, I'm not an all 22 maven, but I just see what I see. And I see that the lack of protection is still there. The offense has totally regressed with the offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, being there. And I know that Pete Carroll came on our show in the summer and bristled at the notion of let Russ cook because that means he was the one who was turning down the heat in the kitchen or kicking him out of the kitchen. And of course he wants to have Russ cook. That's the way that he wins a Super Bowl. He knows it. So you have to wonder if Russ is looking around saying, hey, out. I got to get out of here. Because the first round selection for the Seattle Seahawks belongs to the Jets in the Jamal Adams trade from a couple years ago. And the Jets pick from Seattle is only one worse than the current pick that the Jets are earning for themselves. If the Jets keep winning, the pick from Seattle could be worse. I mean, it could be better for them is what I'm saying. It could be higher. And guess what? The Jets are in one of those weird positions of being able to keep winning and not have to worry about the draft position, which is another reason why my world's just turned totally upside down these days. It's kind of crazy. Jets win and they still win when someone else loses.
Even when I lose, I win.
So Seattle doesn't have the way out. They don't have the way. They may not have it out in the draft. They may not. They certainly don't look to see have it here. I said that a couple weeks ago. I don't see the way out. It just keeps getting darker. But they'll put their nose to the grindstone and figure out. Let's hey, if they win out and they go 9-8 and they finish with 6 straight wins, maybe the tie breaks go their way. Problem is they have only one win in their division, and that is their still to date lone conference win. They're 1-6 in the NFC. I don't know the way out. They had to have that dub last night. Had to have it. They've lost 6 of 7 since that one lone NFC division and conference win at San Francisco. Totally different team now in San Francisco. Who they face next at home.
More likely to be back next year, Russ or DK?
DK. Where's he going?
Not there. He doesn't want to play with Russell Wilson anymore. Looks pretty obvious.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and suppose what their relationship is or anything like that. All I know is he's massively frustrated because this is supposed to be his even better year, and it's totally regressed. And the reason for that is the run game has totally disappeared. The line is not protecting and not blowing open holes. And if you're a defensive coordinator, who are you taking away? Who are you taking away? That guy. Let Lockett get his run. That's it.
It's rough.
It sure is.
It's rough.
Now, let's get to the top story of the day. Period. And that is Brian Kelly is no longer the head coach at Notre Dame.
Wow.
After a remarkable run where he became the winningest coach in Notre Dame history. He passed Newt Rockne this year. And now he's saying deuces. Going to LSU.
Go Tigers.
There's two ways to handle this. Chris, there's the professional way.
Okay.
And then there's the way that I've been handling everything college football lately, ooh, which is thoroughly personal and borderline unprofessional. Which one do you want first?
Well, I mean, I love what you've been doing lately.
Yes.
However, it is top of the show.
Yes, sir.
You know, we do want to win Emmys.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
You've been in this biz for so long.
Oh,
you have a reputation.
Thank you.
And a standard that people are expecting you to live up to each day. So I'm going to say go professional.
Thank
that's
you,
just
sir.
Like,
thank you.
As your attorney, that's my advice.
Sold. Okay. Sold. Better call Brockman. Okay. So here's a professional way to look at it. College sports, let's get rid of the kimono. This is professional sports. They are paying college football coaches better than professional football coaches. Fact. Fact. We're hearing the contract for Brian Kelly could be 10 years, $100 million with incentives, which is less than the contract that Lincoln Riley apparently accepted to leave Oklahoma to go to USC that included $11 million salary. They bought his home in Oklahoma for him above market price. Okay. They are paying $6 million for a home here for him in Los Angeles. And according to reports, 24/7 private jet availability for his family, which is, I believe, just apples to apples, a better deal than what the Roy family accepted to maintain control of Waystar Royco.
From the Sandys and Stewie.
Correct, because, you know,
they
can't get the family
PJ anymore.
They were
no private jets.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no private jets.
So let's stop saying there's not enough money for players.
Jeez.
All right? Certainly, since USC is at least private, okay? LSU is a state university. So I don't know where that money's coming from. And in case anybody's sitting there wondering, I'm throwing stones from my glass State University, University of Michigan house. My coach, Jim Harbaugh, announced on local radio yesterday, he and his wife, Sarah, are giving all his incentive money that he's set to earn. And he's already earning by making the Big Ten championship game. Anything else he makes, he's giving back to the athletic department to offset any of the salary clawbacks that were made by the university on other members of the athletic department because of COVID-19. He's still making a pretty penny. But let's just cut it. Let's cut it out. All right. And Brian Kelly, obviously going for the money, but you know what I think he's going for, too? He wants to win championships. Because Notre Dame needs to be perfect in order to make that Final Four. They got to be perfect. SEC teams, if you lose once, we'll forgive it. Because it's the SEC. It's the toughest division. It's the toughest conference.
Means more.
It means more to them, too. So all you got to do is we could wind up having not one but two one-loss SEC teams in the college football playoffs.
Possible.
And the amazing thing is that Brian Kelly's leaving, from what I believe, again, it's money, and a better chance. LSU's played in four national championship games, right? Four. Notre Dame's played in one, right? Since he's been there?
LSU won 2 years ago.
All right, I understand that. But LSU's been to the college football playoffs, I believe, four times since Brian Kelly's been there. So you put it all together, and LSU has a better path to the championship basket than Notre Dame has. BCS, too, I'm going back.
Yeah, I'm checking.
Put it all together. BCS, college football playoffs. LSU's had four cracks. Notre Dame, not many. And they could have one this year. If Georgia beats Alabama, or if Iowa beats my alma mater, right? Baylor beats Oklahoma State. How many chess pieces are up in the air? A lot of them.
All of them.
And so Notre Dame has possibilities to get into the college football playoffs this year. Now with an interim head coach. It's just not the same college football anymore. And let's just drop the whole deal of players can't get paid because there's not enough money and it would totally ruin everything. It's professional sports. It really is. Now you want the unprofessional?
Yeah, I mean.
Here we go.
I kind of fell asleep through the professional.
Okay, sorry about that. Here we go. Here we go. How dare you? Here we go. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
I did not think my week could get better as a Michigan Wolverine fan. I just did not think that my week of beating Ohio State could get better. And then I realized, again, as you know, I've hit that button to go up to the penthouse, to the top floor, and look at the view, right? I understand that Iowa could send us right down to the ground floor, but I'm not. Negative thoughts are gone. I'm living my best life right now.
Living my best life.
And I've realized every day it's been getting better. Had no idea, though, that the Tuesday after the Saturday win, I would be coming on the air today and talk. I've already had Ohio State get some, and I even saved some shrapnel for Michigan State fans yesterday. You know, Notre Dame. I have nothing but distaste and dislike for. Even having Brian Kelly on the show, he knew that. We had fun with that.
Of course.
And I've slagged on the movie Rudy so much, the director of the film, David Anspaugh, has come on the show saying he's heard from the real Rudy, and Rudy, the real one, wants to fight me.
Yeah, yep. He's pissed.
Yeah,
he's pissed.
Triller, hit us up.
Right, because I just think, you know, the movie's total fiction, right? And so I totally dislike Notre Dame, especially when I'd love to play them more. Michigan Notre Dame, a great game, terrific rivalry. And then Notre Dame's like, yeah, we'll play you in 13 years from now. I think that's now 10 years away when we play them next. So the fact that officially today, Notre Dame football is now officially a stepping stone job in college football. Ooh. And the guy who has sealed that branding of their head coaching position in football program writ large is the guy who's their winningest coach of all time. He passes Newt Rockne just to tell him, deuces, stepping stone, LSU's job is better. Out. Even if we can make the national championship semifinal this year, it's entirely possible. I'm telling this to you now. So Notre Dame might make it with their interim coach just to put it in front of the whole country. For everyone to see interim coach, our guy left. Just let everyone know. Stepping stone. How great. How much better can this week get?
He's filling himself.
Michigan State.
He's really filling himself.
Michigan State's talking to me about I got beat. What? What? There's so much winning going on. I'm going to start drinking Tiger Blood. Maybe I've already drank it.
Duh, winning.
Shout out to the 10 reference.
Whew.
You all right?
Oh, I'm all right, man. Notre Dame's winning his head coach of all time. It's not Newt Rockne anymore. Nope. Keep looking at that guy at the top. To find him, you don't have to go and look for Touchdown Jesus in the area. All you got to do is go check out Louisiana State University.
Go Tigers.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
That's right, Notre Dame fans. All I got to do is just say for this to the football gods who have finally decided to bestow this on me in one college football week, all I got to do is this. Just a little slow clap. Like, wow. I'm Charles S. Dutton.
Charles Dutton slow clap?
Yeah, wow. Baby.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Carry me off the field,
Rudy.
Baby.
Rudy.
No, Richie.
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 Richie. Carry me off
Richie.
The field to break.
Richie. Richie.
Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Richie. Sports on this subject. Charles Woodson's going to join us later on in the program. Ronnie Staley's a Notre Dame Fighting Irish alum.
That couldn't work.
And we were going to have him on to talk about his beautiful foundation to hook up rescue dogs with people in need for such companionship and help. Elijah Mitchell of the San Francisco 49ers, but slow clap me to break, boys.
Richie.
Thank you, yeah.
Richie.
Back with Dan Wetzel in a moment right here Richie. On the Rich Eisen Show.
We're all offbeat.
That doesn't
wrong.
Matter. It doesn't matter. World's great. That was onbeat as far as I'm concerned. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Tomorrow on Netflix.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Joining us here is a man whose work I truly love and enjoy. He's one of the best sports columnists out there, whether it's on a game day like Saturday's Michigan-Ohio State game or on a day like today to give us perspective on the college football world. Yahoo columnist, Yahoo Sports columnist, Dan Wetzel back here on the show. How are you, Dan?
I'm well, Rich. Not as well as you. You Michigan people are having yourself a moment, aren't you?
Well, you could peel us off the ceiling.
Well-deserved. It's well-earned.
I appreciate that. You know, and all the Ohio State friends of mine and fans of mine always told me that a win over Michigan always gets better the each passing day. Now I'm getting that sense back after not having felt it in quite some time. And I had no idea that on top of it, my complete disdain for Notre Dame would be fed in the manner of the winningest coach in the history of that esteemed program saying LSU's better. Why did Brian Kelly say that? Is it money? Is it really just that? What is it, Dan?
No, it's a shot to win a national title, and this is where we're at in college football. This is an incredible move by Kelly, because there are four games this weekend that matter and who gets in the playoff. And Notre Dame needs like one or two results, none of which are out of line, and they would be in the playoff on Sunday. Like if Georgia beats Alabama, and either Cincinnati loses, Michigan loses, or Oklahoma State loses, which again very possible, Notre Dame's going to get in this playoff, and Brian Kelly would have a playoff team for the third time in four seasons. And this isn't like the NBA playoffs. There's only four teams in the playoff, okay? And so everything we've ever been told by coaches, teams, we're all in, we can do it, nobody believes in us, we, you know, just give us a shot, we'll rise up. Brian Kelly is staring at that possibility and saying, yeah, I'm out. I don't care. We don't have a shot, or we don't, I'm not even going to try. And he's bailing on a potential team. If he made this move on Sunday, if Notre Dame doesn't get in and he makes this move on Sunday, totally get it. But the fact he's doing it now is just like, you know, I said, like the sequel to Rudy is horrible. Like this is not what we were going for here. It's just everything against sports. So he's making that move. But the crazy part of the sport is he's looking and saying, I have a better chance of winning a national championship. I'm 60 years old. I'm a very, very good coach. I have a better chance of winning a national championship by going and taking over an LSU program that is 500 the last two seasons than actually coaching in the playoffs this year with a program that is 44-6 over the last four to make their third playoff appearance. That's how important it is to have the elite level recruits that you can get at LSU.
Mm-hmm.
But you just can't really get at Notre Dame.
Well,
and
I mean,
so that's where the sport's at.
Well, part of that may be, you know, the provost that's there in South Bend, and you know that it Notre Dame definitely has different aspects of their program that other schools around the country, certainly like LSU, I don't believe have. So I kind of see all that. But the question I have is, was there a take it or leave it? You've got 24 hours, 48 hours deal on the table for Brian Kelly. Why wouldn't he play this thing out? Because if he did play it out to see if they have a college football playoff, that certainly LSU wouldn't wait four more weeks to fill their role, right? There's recruiting that's going on right now, Dan?
It seems that we'll find out more when this hashes out. But it would seem like you had to make that move right now. You could at least wait 5 days, right? But the nature of this thing is everything moves very, very fast. And there's recruiting. Signing day is in 2 weeks. They very foolishly created an early, quote-unquote, signing day, which totally sends this every year into tumult and has kids signing with programs that don't even have coaches. And terrible idea, but they do it. But I would guess LSU said, you take this offer now or not, and we'll go in another direction. And Brian Kelly took it. We'll see, though. It happened very, very quickly. Brian Kelly was in a recruit's home recruiting for Notre Dame yesterday. Then walked out, took the job.
Come on.
And then tried to fly home.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's close to the all-timer, which was when Tommy Tuberville was at Texas Tech and was at a meeting, at a recruiting dinner with a family, took a call, accepted the Cincinnati job, and then just left, just ghosted him in the restaurant in Lubbock. That's the all-timer. But this is close.
Wow. Dan, I've got one for you on the opposite side of that spectrum. Rod Woodson, my buddy, Pro Football Hall of Famer, told me that when he was recruited, Mr. Indiana in football, coming out of the great state of Indiana that we're talking about right now, Lee Corso was the coach of Indiana football and recruited him thusly, showed up to his front door, said, Rod, I've just been fired as head coach of Indiana football, but you should still go there. It's a great place. That's why he did.
Yeah.
Thus, he went to Purdue because he wanted to stay at home. You know, so it's unbelievable. That's, I guess, maybe the opposite end of that.
That would be the opposite. It was a more simpler time, and that is and Lee Corso is a great man.
Well, I'll tell you this, Dan. Let's have this conversation.
This is a different sport now.
Of course, but let's have that conversation then. Dan Wetzel of Yahoo here on the Rich Eisen Show. I don't want to hear another human being complain when a college football player does not play in his bowl game because there's nothing, quote-unquote, left to play for, and we're supposed to sit here and say, you got to play for the school. You got to play for your pride. You got to play for your teammates when they've got an NFL career going. And college football head coaches are showing up and recruiting somebody in their house and then saying, I'm out. And he has every right to do that. And he's doing this for his family and his career. What about players? This is professional sports now, Dan.
Yeah, well, fortunately, they finally gave up on the and allow the transfer portal. And that took years and years of a lot of yelling at college athletics to allow that. But at least the players can leave, too. and they can leave right after. I mean, Lincoln Riley, he wasn't recruiting hours before he took a job. He was literally coaching to get in the Big 12 championship game, right? Walks out of the locker room and basically takes the USC job. So all of this stuff happens, and at least now the players can also leave. They're all free to go, and they can go somewhere else and play next season. There's no sitting out. But clearly that charade that the loyalty had to be one way and only one way was always outrageous, and it becomes more and more outrageous as it goes. Brian Kelly has every single right to go take whatever job he wants, and he did. The player should have the right to go, hey, I want to follow him, or I only came to Notre Dame for this reason, or I want to go whatever school I want to go to now. So it's got to be a two-way street, and at least now we're on that path where it is a two-way street.
Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports here on the Rich Eisen Show. You have any ear to the ground on who Notre Dame might be looking at to fill in this role right now? Obviously, well, temporarily, if not fresh. Writ large. What do you got for me?
Yeah, it's fresh because they weren't expecting it. Literally a week ago, Brian Kelly sat in front of the media and discussed, you know, basically said he had the same belief as Mike Tomlin and said only a quarter billion dollar deal would get him away, a $250 million deal. He got about $95 to $100 million. So Notre Dame was not expecting this. Look, the guy they want is Luke Fickell, the Cincinnati coach. Luke Fickell is a different guy. Look, never say never. You can't be cynical enough in this profession, but I cannot imagine Luke Fickell walking away from his team, certainly if they make this playoff, like Brian Kelly just did. I cannot fathom him doing that, the type of guy he is. Luke Fickell is the perfect hire there. He is a Midwest guy. He is an Ohio guy. Ohio State has a coach for the long term. Other jobs in the area that maybe Michigan now isn't looking to open. Penn State just has a big deal. So if he wants to stay, Notre Dame is a possibility for Luke Fickell, but I also could see Luke Fickell just saying, no, I'm good. I'm going to stay at Cincinnati. We're going in the Big 12, all that. Marcus Freeman, their young defensive coordinator, highly, highly regarded, has done incredible work this year with the defense and in recruiting. He has no head coaching experience. It's a very challenging job. Notre Dame is a tough job, so that would be there. And then you have, you know, the Matt Campbells or somebody like that who's done a pretty good job at Iowa State. Those are probably your three most likely. You could get NFL interest. You could get a lot of different people, but Notre Dame's scrambling right now, and I don't know that they can even get Luke Fickell on the phone to find out whether he's interested. But if Cincinnati wins on Saturday, I think he's off the table. If Cincinnati loses on Saturday, now maybe you got a shot at Luke Fickell.
Well, I mean, while we're being cynical, the dots being connected with Urban Meyer having a very difficult time in his first year, as you already said, no way. I mean, he's already gotten as many losses in Jacksonville this year that he had at Ohio State in his entire tenure there. He's already got 9, and we're only entering week 13 in this NFL season. We know his affinity for the place. He was there in his coaching whistle stop tour that's led him to Jacksonville. No way. You just said the words no way, right?
Yeah. Urban Meyer wins. Urban Meyer is a high maintenance drama. It's going to end ugly. There's going to be it's everything Notre Dame doesn't want to be. Would he win? Yes. Could he recruit and deal with the job of under the all the different things that go on at Notre Dame, some of the academic restrictions, the little things. Freshmen have to live on the dorm, right? Freshmen, they want the players have to live with the other students. They have to eat in dining commons with other students except for train camp. Urban wants a 24-hour sealed-off football program. Like, he's a terrible fit for Notre Dame, a terrible fit, other than he would win. He could have had Notre Dame years ago, and he took Florida because he knew that would fit better. I mean, if Notre Dame did that, it would be – they would probably win, but I don't know. It's just that he is just not a fit at Notre Dame. Urban is a very, very good college football coach, a great college football coach, but it's all got to be under his terms, and it's going to burn out really quick. He's just not that guy that Notre Dame – Brian Kelly was pushing it at Notre Dame. And pushed to get change, and invariably couldn't. So I don't think Urban Meyer's got a shot at this thing. I don't think Notre Dame wants him. I don't think they want to win that desperately to take Urban Meyer. Certainly not the administration and all of that.
Last one for you then. The timing of all this. You said it seems like Oklahoma's president said, we wish we had more of a heads up. Notre Dame seems to be caught flat-footed. But James Franklin, who was rumored to be wanting, if not on the list of both of these jobs that were filled by Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly, he signs a contract last week to stay at Penn State. If he has an inkling that those jobs are not going to be his, why didn't the schools that lost their coaches know that their coaches were on those wish lists? Doesn't everybody talk? I mean, seriously, and these contracts, I had fun with it a little bit on Twitter and earlier on, Dan Wetzel, I don't know if you watched Succession and the terms that the Roy family accepted to maintain control of Waystar Royco, they're worse than what Lincoln Riley got from USC, you know, I mean, with private jets and everything. So it's not like these deals can just be done over 24 hours, you know, there has to be a lot of talk behind the scenes here.
I think, you know, Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly, the same agent. I think a good agent can do a lot of stuff quietly.
Who's the agent?
Oh, we'll get to that. But but if you do the thing the right, if you do it, because I don't know all the details went down.
Okay.
But I don't know, Brian. I mean, look, James Franklin, his name's out there. He gets the deal. He also finished 2-5. I don't know how hot of a candidate he was going to end up being.
Right.
But, yeah, you have to talk to your coaches and try to keep them. In the past, people never left a so-called blue blood program for another blue blood program. I mean, nobody ever willingly left Oklahoma or Notre Dame. I think the last time a guy left Notre Dame was like 1907, and it was pre-Bud Wilkerson that anyone left Oklahoma. You got those jobs, you stayed. You did Tom Osborne, you did Joe Pa, you did Bear Bryant, you did Bo and Woody. You didn't leave unless you got old or fired or there's scandal. You stayed at those places and tried to win and stayed and said, hey, over the next 20 years, maybe we can win one. Nowadays, the pressure to get the elite recruits, because recruiting is so much better of a science, it's way more like an NFL draft. And the top schools that can attract them get such a talent advantage. People look and say, well, there's a 5-star, there's a 4-star, it's not that big of a difference. No one would ever say that in the NFL draft. A 5-star recruit is like a first-round draft pick. And there's only 250 guys about get drafted a year. If you're outside that 250 in the NFL, you're an undrafted free agent. Those guys, nobody thinks about them. Like Georgia right now has 6 5-star recruits committed for next year. That's 6 first-round draft picks. How are you beating that team if you don't have any first-round draft picks? So the ability to get to those schools that can get that player, and that's LSU, is so enormous because it's probably the only way you can actually beat the top. There's only a few schools that can win it right now, and that's what Brian Kelly's chasing. But everyone else, and that's what Lincoln Riley's chasing. He's saying, I got a better shot because Southern California has a ton of great players. Oklahoma has produced 1 5-star, 1 top 30 player since 2007. One kid, and you end up going to Michigan, Daxton Hill from Tulsa. But that's it. So you have to be able to get the elite, elite, elite player to win football. The same way a team that never gets a first-round pick is going to struggle in the NFL.
Dan, great stuff as always. Love reading your material and having these conversations with you. Greatly appreciate it. Let's do it down the line. Please.
Anytime.
Thanks again. That's Dan Wetzel.
Try the game this weekend.
Yeah, I will do my best to do so. Thanks again. That's Dan Wetzel right here from Yahoo Sports, national columnist of Yahoo Sports, at Dan Wetzel on Twitter. Follow him. Read his material. So much to discuss. I have one item I just want to hammer again once again when we come back about this being professional sports. And Tiger Woods has spoken. That's still to come. Elijah Mitchell of the San Francisco 49ers. Ronnie Stanley's a Notre Dame Fighting Irish alum of the Ravens. He's joining us in Hour 3. So is Charles Woodson.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about
how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What a day, what a day. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When was the last time you really considered your dream? Mercedes-Benz Sprinter and Mercedes-Benz Vans want you to think about that because your dream's been telling you to go live the van life, perhaps. Maybe just certainly in this holiday season, just hop in a van and go visit all those national park sites you wanted to, or go visit the state next door, or just go convene with family. Or start a new business at some point. Maybe that's going to be around the corner for you in 2022. Whatever your heart desires and your dreams been telling you, Mercedes-Benz Vans can help you figure it all out because we're talking about one of the more premium vehicles on the road. You can expect innovative safety features like crosswind assist, blind spot assist. Expect amazing performance and reliability with an MBUX voice command system, a 5-star dealer network, and an available gas engine. It runs like a dream. So what do you say? Head to the Mercedes-Benz van dealership near you and get that Sprinter and tell them your dream sent you. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. One more time, just to put it in a nice, neat little package for you. The Brian Kelly departure from Notre Dame to LSU is the latest example that college football, using players who are students, and they are student athletes, and it is a college campus on which they live and ply their craft. It's professional sports. A coach of one of the most storied programs ever. They make movies about it. They're an outlier in this world. Still an independent program with their own package, their own sports package with the company that runs this streaming service you're seeing us on right now. We're like Notre Dame. We're partners with NBC Sports, the Rich Eisen Show. And by the way, if you guys play today, you'd have to play like champions.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have a sign for you to hit when you come out here. Maybe I should. But my point is this. It's professional sports when somebody who is part of that program goes to another program for a $100 million contract with incentives. 10 years, $100 million. Where does that ring a bell? That's what Gruden got from the Raiders. And we're talking about this is one of the most expensive and tenured contracts ever given to a professional coach anywhere. And Brian Kelly just got that from LSU. And he's taking the job, even though in days, his team could be in the college football playoffs right now. If he's going to LSU for a better chance to win a championship, he's got a team that can win one right now if things break his way. And he's taking over a program that was won by a coach 2 years ago. A championship was brought to LSU. Ed Orgeron was the king of all he surveyed in Baton Rouge. And he was the ultimate culture fit for that town and that program. And they bounced him 2 years later. That's professional sports. And the guy who takes it is a guy who can win a championship right now. I don't want to ever hear again college football players who don't play in their bowl games when there's nothing to play for, no championship to play for. They say, we're not playing. I don't want to hear anybody say that they're not loyal, they're leaving their teammates high and dry. They're making a business decision, just like the people at LSU made a business decision to bounce their national championship winning coach from 2 years ago and hire a guy and pay him $100 million in a state university system from Notre Dame and take him and bring him there. Same thing with Lincoln Riley going from Oklahoma to USC. He's making his business decisions. Can you believe it? Again, this is just a couple years ago. Christian McCaffrey was got any amounts of grief about not playing in the Stanford bowl game. Remember that? And he was talking about he's a bad teammate, and that would be a red flag at the NFL level. And part of the reason why is he didn't want to get hurt. And that's part of his problem now for 2 years running in the NFL is staying healthy. I don't want to hear another word when a player says, I'm transferring. This is the world, the people that they are following into the sport. They're the ones who are taking their business decision out of there. These players follow these coaches to the program, buying what these coaches are coming into their house in front of their family and looking them in the eye and is selling.
Talking to their moms, Rich.
And Brian Kelly was doing that, according to Dan Wetzel, just yesterday. And then left the house and within hours took the job.
That's crazy.
Wow.
But that's timing. And the reason why the timing's happening now is there's a recruiting period in 15 days. You got to get on that. So whoever's setting up the schedule of when you can sign players and what signing day is, you know what I'm hearing? Win or lose what Jim Harbaugh's doing next week of the Big Ten championship game? He's recruiting. He's got to. It's what everybody who's making the college football playoffs is going to be doing next week. Yeah, you got to look over the steering wheel. You got to stay competitive. Got to keep up with the Joneses or the Georges. So this is the world they've set up. I don't know who's decided to set that up, but you're putting your coaches and your programs in a very tough spot. You've got a guy who can make the college football playoffs now, leaving that team now to go to a team that just won it 2 years ago but fired their coach anyway. Professional sports people. It's what it is. Call it what it is. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Here on the program. Coming up next, Elijah Mitchell of Professional Sports San Francisco 49ers. Coming up.